Okay, go.
All right, I'd like to call this meeting of the Shebig Board of Selectmen to order, and we will do a roll call to make sure we can all hear each other. Mr. Beaupre?
Here.
Mr. Corson?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Ophant?
Here.
And Ms. Stratton?
Here.
And Ms. Damon, you can all hear me, I think. All right, so.
And the date is October 21st, 2020.
Yeah, right, October 21st, 2020. Thank you, David. So the first item on the agenda are public comments for items not on the agenda. Under other business, we may come back to this if, I thought there was going to be somebody on here, but I don't see them. All right, so I don't see any hands up. Do you, David?
No, I do not.
Okay. So let's move right along to the town administrator and town treasurer reports. You're on, Marjorie.
Okay.
Your next contestant on the town of Shebig.
Say that again?
Yeah, the next contestant on the town of Shebig.
Oh. Hollywood Squares.
Yes, that's right. Well, that's what it looks like.
Let's make a deal.
Does anybody have any questions under town administrator? If not, I'll just jump into the treasurer's report. Okay. So let's see. I did the bank reconciliation through the end of September. I think that you all have copies of the treasurer's report, and I did do a lot of transferring of funds in September. I transferred the $274,000 that we appropriated to the various reserve funds, so that was a deposit to the reserve funds. But then at the same time, I also withdrew the money from the rescue reserve, $122,600, and from the fire truck reserve, $34,090. That small amount from the coastal access fund for the stairs down at Indian Point, and for the paving project, $282,996. But we still have $1,137,975 in the combined reserve fund account. As far as the budget report, let's do income. Donna wanted me to compare the receipts for September, which totaled $1,386,390.75, to what we took in last year. We actually took in more this year by, where is it? About $75,000, I think. So, yeah. More particularly, the taxes that we collected about $77,000 more in tax revenue this year than we did last year. Most things that I looked at were about the same, you know, but it seemed like this year what we collected. For instance, transfer station last year was $3,000. This year it was about $4,000. Motor vehicle this year was $17,000. Last year it was about $12,000. So pretty consistent, really.
Yeah, thank you, Marjorie. I just wanted us to have some kind of a benchmark to know if somebody questioned, wondered, how are we doing through COVID? I mean, I think that's really good news. Thank you.
Okay. And then I didn't see anything in the budget report that stuck out at me. Happy to answer questions if you have any.
Does anyone on the board have a question of Marjorie regarding the treasurer's report? Okay, seeing none. We went over the town administrator report, but I didn't get one in my packet. Did anybody else, did I just not get it, or did it fall by the wayside.
I didn't have anything written down.
Oh, I thought you said, does anybody have a question?
Okay. No, I said, I guess what I meant was, do you have any general questions for me as town administrator? I don't really have anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I just thought maybe I had lost a piece of paper or something. No. Okay, sorry. Thank you. Mark.
You're on mute.
I have one quick question for you, Marjorie, if I may. I know that we're going to talk about the cardboard compactor and the electrical upgrade. I've taken a couple of three comments from some people about the dumpster situation up at the transfer station, and specifically, I think it's a really busy time right now with construction and construction debris. And is it accurate right now that one of the dumpsters outside is being mostly used for cardboard until we get a compact to try to address that cardboard situation that used to be used for C&D?
Right. Well, we have an extra dumpster that I asked Troiano for. We don't really pay a rental fee on it. It's just sort of a courtesy. It's a 30-yarder.
Okay.
And the decision was made to try to just use that for cardboard because we just didn't have any other place to put it. And then we could at least take it completely as a recycling to EcoMaine, because what was happening is we were having to put that cardboard anywhere and everywhere, including in with the C&D and in with the trash and in with the recycling. So my thought was, if we just use that 30-yarder for cardboard, we could at least have a place to put it.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I answered those questions. Two or three of them, at least, I kind of said, I believe that our inability to deal with the cardboard situation up there so far has led to the necessity of using that dumpster mostly for cardboard, so it's not available for C&D. So I just wanted to clarify that I was answering that question correctly. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone in of the attendees, just put up your hand and David will call on you. If you have a question about the anything to do with the town administrator's report or the town treasurer's report.
No hands are up.
Okay. All right. So do I have a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented?
So moved.
Thank you, Jay.
Second.
David seconded. All right, let's do a quick roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
David? And I'm a yes, so it's unanimous.
What about Bud?
Okay, moving on. The first item on the agenda.
Donna, I just have a question. I don't remember ever doing that. That's the first time I've ever, I mean, I don't mind doing it, but.
In the practice lately, I'm just going back to another life that I had. But, so probably it's not necessary. If no one thinks it's necessary, just remind me next time and don't vote. Just remember. But it
doesn't matter. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But it.
Yeah. In one of my other lives, we always would accept the report because that meant that we had actually, we were responsible for it. I think that's why it's there, because if we don't accept it, it's like, you know, just out there. So I don't know, what's your thoughts, Marjorie? Not that I want to get this, put you on the spot.
I think it's a good practice. When I first got here, it was something that was done, and then the boards got away from it. I usually just leave it to the chair, you know.
So anyway, well, we can talk about it next time. Thank you, Bo. Okay, so moving on to 22-102, to consider warrant articles for a special town meeting. And I just want to get some background on this. We knew when we did the referendum town meeting for the budget in July that at some point we were going to have a special town meeting, because we had a couple of things that were not controversial. They were just legal issues that really probably needed to be taken care of. And in the meantime, thanks to some of the initiative on this board, and especially I want to give kudos to David Hill and Marjorie, who have been really kind of pushing the Army Corps, it looks as if we're getting close to having a contract that we're going to have to sign in February for work that will be done sometime between next October and next January at the for the channel for the Stone Wharf. So that being said, it seems as if we need to make a plan for a town meeting. So my suggestion is going to be that we do the same thing that we did in the summer, in January. We have a special public hearing, and we then have a referendum town meeting, so that we don't have to get people all together. And the three items that I know about, and maybe somebody can come up with something else. And as I said, I'm trying not to have it be controversial, because I think that needs, if something's controversial, it should be in public so that everybody can have an opportunity to weigh in. But one would be the drainage easement between Roy Jackson and Mr. Riley in Frank Holder's place. And when I'm finished with the list, I'm going to ask a couple of you to talk about these. The other would be the Granell exchange of deeds. And the third directly relates to the contract for the Army Corps of Engineers, because what we found is that we had budgeted for $100,000, and come to find out we need $200,000 for just the first payment and another $200,000 when it's finished. So we can hold off on the second $200,000 until after the June town meeting, but we need to come up with $100,000 before February. Marjorie?
I'm trying to wade my way through that draft document, and I did read one part where it said that the second half could be paid off over a 30-year period.
Yes, yeah, I did see that too. Okay. But so I don't think we need to worry about the second half right now. We can decide as time goes on, you know, how we want to pay for that. But we do have to come up with $100,000. So my suggestion is that we ask the voters in this special town meeting to take it out of undesignated fund balance, because that's basically the only place we have to take it. And so that's just kind of the background to this. Before we get into questions, I would like to have either Mark or Bo or both of you talk about the Jackson-Riley easement, and then if Jay would talk about the Granell land swap, because I think you guys are the ones who are the experts on these. Bo.
So I'll talk about the drainage. We were talked to about Roy, with Roy and John Riley about concerns about drainage that was done by Cumberland some time ago. Diverting water diverted in between Roy's house and John Riley's house. Started out as a little swale. Now it's a 2-foot deep ditch. And then on the other side of Roy's property is another area where the water being concentrated there from North Road, it's creating quite a gouge in his land. So Roy expressed concerns about it. It was having water issues. So we had it all, and I don't know how much you want me to go into this, but
I mean, that's the background. And I think that Marjorie has had the, I think that the town attorney has drawn up a draft easement. Is that right? And we've had surveys done. So it's all, I think, ready to go. Mark, do you have anything you want to add to that? You're all set? Okay. Bo?
I forgot my question. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. all right. So that's the Riley thing. We're going to go to the attendees in a minute for questions. But now, Jay, if you could talk about the, you know, how the Granel thing came about.
The Grinnells owned a, okay, we'll start out. We got a tax acquired piece of property on North Road, and the Grinnells property, which was a long, skinny, narrow piece of property, was in the middle of it. And so the Grinnells were approached with the thought of consolidating that long, skinny, narrow piece into a buildable piece. And we looked at it, and initially this was Chris Loader had started some of these conversations, and he and I then developed it. But basically what it does is it takes Grinnell property and gives us a long, a significant piece of property on the road. The Grinnell zone will own a 3-acre, I think it is, give or take a little bit, piece, which is what they're giving up, which they can actually build on and use. They're very excited about it. Everybody was in agreement, and then there turned out to be some questions about the deeds. Marjorie, I know, got much more involved in that than I had been. But my understanding is that any deed issues have been resolved. The attorneys are all in agreement, and it's ready to go. All it needs to do is go before the town, you know, in a general election or special town meeting. And basically, it's a win-win for everybody. They end up with a usable piece of property. We end up with a better piece of property. Which could be subdivided and sold, could be done anything we want with it. At one point, it was looked at as a possible gravel pit. And there were some studies done on that. And the initial thoughts were that it had some huge number of cubic yards of gravel. But that sort of, that number went down and they further into looking at it. Bo might remember that a little bit better too on those numbers. But basically, it's a situation where everybody wins. The town ends up with a great piece of property across from the existing town building. We can do anything we want with.
And I just want to thank you guys for thinking outside the box, because like you said, it's a win-win. And whenever we can do that, that's really good. Thanks, Jay, and thanks, Bo, I put you on the spot for explaining those. Marjorie, do you have anything you want to add to either one of those projects?
No, I think we're ready to go with the drainage easements and with the approval of the deeds. But there was one more thing that we got from the state that I don't know if you want to deal with it or not, the floodplain ordinance, updating the floodplain ordinance.
Has the planning board looked at it?
No.
Why don't we put that off? Because, I mean, I would rather have this be simple. And I think we've done our due diligence for these two projects, and I think we have to come up with $100,000. And I don't know where else we're going to get it unless we start collecting bottles, and Shedemption's out of business. So anyway, that's where we are right now. Now Bo and David.
All right, I just remembered my question.
Oh, good.
Why can't we take it out of the Stone Pier Reserve?
Well, I'll tell you,
we could 300 something in there.
We could do that, and we could put it back in next year. I was just concerned that people might think that we were trying to raid that fund, and it really doesn't make any difference. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And I just figured that it would be, for me, it just cleaner to take it out of the undesignated. And, you know, that's my only rationale for doing that.
But haven't we drawn from that already?
From what?
From that.
We took 150,000 out to reduce the tax cost this year.
Right.
I'm just concerned that we'll. I don't want to draw it down too hard.
Right. You know,
too far.
Marjorie, what's the balance?
I don't have the audited balance at 2020 yet. Do you want the 2019 audited fund balance?
Sure.
I think it was 700 something.
Minus 150, so we're down to 550 left.
And well, 550, we put more in last. There may have been more that went in at the end of the year, but it hasn't been audited yet.
Yeah. Right.
What I'm getting at is we have plenty. We have enough money there to stay within the parameters of our policy.
Exactly.
And still take the 100 grand out.
Okay.
$693,408 at the end of 2019, and then we used another 150 out of that. Well, Donna's right. There will be an amount of money that will flow into that this year.
David, you had your hand up.
Well, coming back to the question about that Marjorie brought up about what was it? Now I can't even remember the topic. The other request.
About the floodplain?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there are any implications, any deadlines, any penalties, negative effects to putting off dealing with that, the floodplain thing.
Why don't I put it on as an agenda item to discuss, and you could discuss the memo I got from, what is it, the office? The Maine Floodplain Management Program, Janet Parker.
Because I'm all in favor of moving forward with our town meeting and the items that we're discussing. I just want to make sure that by leaving off the floodplain thing, we're not hurting ourselves.
Well, the great thing about this is that they do this for you. It says the Maine Floodplain Management Program is offering to update the Community Floodplain Management Ordinance before the new flood insurance rate maps are released. This will ease the process when the maps are released. Please refer to the attached document. If your community is interested, please contact Sue or I. We'll be happy to prepare a new ordinance for you.
Well, that sounds like we can do it later.
Well, when does the flood insurance rates change? I think that's more to the point.
I'm not sure of the most recent.
So, Marjorie, if we hold off on if we don't have to make the decision tonight of when to hold the town meeting, we still have plenty of time, right? Because you have 60 days or something. Isn't it 60 days if you do a referendum town meeting? That's what I was told when I tried to have it combined with the last election, that there was a lead time of 60 days. And we still have plenty if we do that in January.
Okay.
So let's talk about the floodplain at the next meeting. Okay, so Jay.
I'm just curious, if you want to do this in January, why don't we just have a regular town meeting?
Because
the odds of 100 people turning up in January.
Because I guess for me, I don't want to be the person who votes to have the super spreader event that just happens. I don't think it's necessary for everybody to be there. I think that it worked out well with doing the budget that way. It's going to be the middle of the winter when people don't necessarily want to go out. We could have, I mean, they're going to have to vote, but they can do absentee. That, for me, I was looking for what the easiest way out was. Bo, and then we're going to go to the public.
Because there's no reason why we can't do public meetings before, just to let people know what's...
Oh, we have to. We have to do that. We have to have a public hearing.
I was also wondering, what about the drainage issue on South Road across from the store? Is it something that we can probably manage to get on there, or to try to get that on for June?
I think that would have to be in June and have to be part of a bigger discussion. I think that later on when we talk about the hazard mitigation, that's a chance to talk about that tonight.
Okay.
All right. So is there anyone in the audience who has their hand up, David? Yeah.
Vika has her hand up, and she can speak now, I believe.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I just, in reference to what you guys are talking about, I just, as far as the referendum goes, while it is easier to some extent to do the referendum, it does entail that we have to have myself and Chris and every single election worker that would typically work on any regular election there. So that adds a cost and time, because we have to be there for 15 hours that particular day to hold that referendum. So we still have to have a warden and a Democrat and a Republican morning and in the afternoon. In reference to what somebody said earlier, if it is in the middle of January, maybe we are able to hold a meeting with a lot less people. It might be something a little bit quicker and something a little bit easier and less cost effective for the town. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Thank you very much. Thanks for that's good insight. We appreciate that insight. I guess my only thought is I want to have as many people have an opportunity to vote as possible. And I think the referendum and absentee ballots, I know it's more complicated, but gives it that. But we haven't made a final decision. We'll probably do that next time, but we thank you for that input, because that was really helpful. Okay, anyone else have a question about any of these items that we've talked about, or anything else that you think should go into a town, an emergency town, not emergency town meeting, but an unscheduled special town meeting? I'm sorry. Yes, David.
Would we have drafts of the three warrant items to discuss next time?
Marjorie, do you think that we can get those from Natalie, some wording?
I have them. I just want to check with her on to make sure I have the final.
Okay. Great. That would be perfect. Thank you so much. All right. Anyone else want to talk about anything else having to do with this? Okay, let's move right on to review and update the hazard mitigation plan. I hope that everyone had a chance to look at that. What I looked at for changes were having to do with, for example, the Indian Island. We didn't have any money attached to that, and we still don't know for sure, but we did get a quote from an engineering company to do engineering, so maybe we should plug at least that in here. And the other was, we didn't have, for the estimated cost for the sea level rise, for the stone wharf, we had 300 to a million, and it's probably we should up that to 1 to 6 million, because we have absolutely no idea what we are going to end up doing. We know we have to do something. And based on the engineering study we had, it wouldn't hurt to put that money in, that number in. The other one that I had was adding the road by the slow bell that floods by Beth and Max. And when we have a lot of rain, I don't know what we call that area. South Road. By the slow bell, I guess. But so I'd like to open that up to the board to see what you think. While they're doing that, Marjorie, while they're thinking about it, did Ralph have any input?
He said he didn't think there were any changes.
Well,
I agree with your changes, and I do agree that we should add the South Shore by the Slow Bell. And we need to do something with the Stone Wharf, increase that. This is going to cost quite a bit.
I mean, we don't have a clue really, but, you know, based on the engineering studies, by saying 1 to 6 million, you know, we get ourselves covered probably.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, I'd like to move to respond to the Cumberland County Hazard Mitigation Plan as outlined by Donna.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Mark? Okay.
I'll second.
Second. Any comments?
I would just request that the specifics that you listed, Donna, be included in that motion so that they're in the record.
Okay. So do you want me to say it again?
Unless Chris needs it.
Chris, do you need that? Yes. Okay. So it would be 1 to 6 million instead of 300,000 to 1 million under the Stone Wharf. We would update the costs related to Indian Point to at least include what Marjorie has for an estimate for a study. And so, Chris, you'd have to get with Marjorie on that one because I don't know the number. And add as a new project by the Slow Bell, South Road near the Slow Bell, opposite the Slow Bell Cafe. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Anyone have any comments on that before I go to the public? Jay?
Yeah, how about the Bennett's, item number 2, Bennett's Cove Engineering Study for Improvements to the Stone Block Commercial Boat Ramp.
Oh, number 2? Okay. Yep. These are really tiny writings.
Yeah, it is.
We have unknown. I think we're still unknown, aren't we?
Well, I think, Marjorie, at one point you had gotten an estimate for...
I had just gotten information on having engineering done. So at that point, I didn't really have a cost of construction. But what we had at the time were examples around Casco Bay that had already been built and that were very similar. I can't remember the amounts, but we were just looking at, I don't know, maybe 25 to 50,000 for the engineering on it.
Well, do we want to add that 25 to 50,000? I mean, in case someday down the road we do it. This is kind of one of those things that we're not really held to anything, but.
Why don't you make it 50 to 100?
That I'm okay with adding that to the motion.
I agree.
I'm fine with that.
Everybody okay with that 50 to 100? Like I said, this does not tie us to anything. Right. In fact, we don't even have any numbers for South Shore Drive and South Road by Secret Road. So is the purpose of this, Marjorie, so that in case there's like a catastrophe, we can come back and say it was on our plan to get FEMA to help us?
These are areas in town that are susceptible or vulnerable to sea level rise and erosion. It's part of a hazard mitigation plan that the county puts together. So one of the reasons why we participate is so that if FEMA money becomes available, then we can take advantage of that money. If we don't participate in the plan, then we're not eligible to receive funding.
That's what I thought. So I just want to make that clear to everybody. So it's good to have projects on here so people can identify them. And what's the deadline for this, Marjorie?
October 30th.
Okay, so it has to go in right away. So, all right, I'm going to open it up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who would like to weigh in on or have an idea for another project we should add to this?
No one in the public, but I have a question.
Yes, David.
Or a request, actually. Looking at this grid that they put together, for example, on Bennett's Cove, it needs a problem statement, which really should be added. And the spaces on the right, the 2021 updates, I guess that's what we'd be adding in, but they're also looking for a point of contact and email. And I would just like to point that out as being necessary to complete this grid for submission.
Well, I wonder why they weren't filled in last time.
They may not have existed last time.
No, no, this is what was already in our plan and we're just looking at it.
Well, the point, the last two, obviously the 2021 update is a new column and they may have added also the point of contact and email because I don't see it for the other, for Cumberland and whatever the municipality above us was.
So are we asking Marjorie to fill this out, the other parts of this?
I think so.
Is that part of the motion or is that just a direct?
Just, it doesn't you can make it a part of the motion, but.
So Marjorie will clean it up. I guess
yeah,
that's what we're
yeah, talking it's about. Just a.
All right. So if there isn't any more discussion on this, I'm going to call for a roll call vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yeah.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. Okay. So now, quickly going on to consider the Chabig Island Hall Community Center rent. In the past, we've paid $4,000 for a year to the hall for using it. Marjorie, do you want to introduce this topic?
Yeah, as part of our administrative budget, we pay rent to the hall. I did talk with Sam McLean today. She'd be fine going to a per diem. You know, if we use it, we pay for it. Bo last time had suggested that we just pay half. I think they would be happy with either one, you know.
What I was thinking about was they still have to pay for the heat, you know, even though the building's not being used, that maybe we could pay $1,000 and then in the spring, if we go back in, then talk about it again.
Well, this money is really for the cleaning. The money that we pay to the community center and the library, as I understand it, is for the utilities.
Okay.
This is really more for the amount of money that they need to clean the hall before and after use. I think what you suggest would be fine as well.
All right, so what's the sense of the board, Mark?
I'd like to make a motion that we pay 50%, which would be $2,000 to the hall.
Second.
All right, any discussion? Jay?
Can I get a point of clarity? The money that we pay them doesn't go for heat, light, and electric. Rather, it goes for the cleaning costs?
That's my understanding.
Okay, because their cleaning costs, since we're not using it, are zero.
Well, we've used it a couple of times for elections.
Right, okay. Okay, I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know.
I think it's just kind of a community. I think I'm looking at it from the community perspective. And, you know, if we can say this is an advance payment for the year. You know, if we do end up going back there, then we don't necessarily have to make our second payment. We can talk to them. But I would support Mark's motion. Who seconded Mark's motion?
I did.
David? Okay. All right, any more discussion? How about in the audience? Any of the attendees have any comments about whether we should pay $2,000 to the hall? All right, seeing none, I'm going to call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Mr. David votes yes.
Okay. Ms. Damon is yes, so it's unanimous. All right. And the next item is to consider a donation to Life Flight Foundation of Maine. My first question is, have we made donations to them before or recently?
Oh, I forgot to look it up. My recollection is that we have once, given them what they asked for, that they're asking for $341. I'm sorry, I was supposed to look that up. And we took it out of Selectman's contingency.
Okay, so what's the sense of the board?
Well, David? My recollection is that last year we kind of batted it around a bit and figured that $341 was pretty cheap insurance in case we needed it. And I think I will move that we approve the donation of $341 to Life Flight in Maine, contingent on Marjorie's check to see that we did it last year. And if we didn't do it last year, then I would suggest that we revisit it at our next meeting.
Is there a second to that? Mark?
I'm only willing to second it without the second part of David's motion. If he's not willing to take that out, I'm not going to second it.
That's fine with me. I think we should be paying it, and I think we paid it last year.
So the motion is that we're going to make a donation, and the rationale is we never know when we might need to use it, and it's $341. Yeah. All right, so any comments from any comments, questions from anyone on the board before I go to the public? All right, anyone in the public have a comment about Life Flight?
Nope.
All right, no. Bo? Right.
Shouldn't the in the motion be where the money's coming from?
Good point.
Yeah, from the reserve fund, same as last year.
Contingency
fund.
From the selectman's contingency. You got that, Chris? We're all over the place here, but you do a great job capturing it. All right, so all in, so I wish we could say all in favor. That's so much easier. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes, unanimous. All right, so now we're going to hear about any updates on the electrical upgrades necessary for the cardboard compactor. So Marjorie, I assume you've got some information for us, or is that Bo's hand up?
Yeah.
Bo.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Marjorie yet. Okay. So I just got in touch with Kim, and basically Kim talked to Lenny from CMP. He wanted some confirmation on if we were able to use the existing pipe that was in the ground or would have to upgrade the conduit. Lenny said that yes, we would have to upgrade the conduit in the ground, which means we'd have to excavate to put the 4-inch conduit in for the power. So I'm sorry, I don't have any more information than that. He was gonna look into getting me a price together or an estimate. Are we planning to get several estimates for this? Are we gonna put it out for bid, or?
Are we talking about the electrical? What are you talking about?
Yes.
The whole thing? Okay, Mark?
Even though that would be the most prudent way to proceed, usually, what I'm seeing in the building industry and the trades industry as a whole is how busy people are. So if we can get more than one, if we can get 1 to 3 estimates, fine. But if not, I'm comfortable allowing one or, of our 2 island electricians to install the upgraded service myself.
What's the sense of the rest of the board? David?
Would that include the excavation that we're talking about to put the 4-inch conduit in?
I think the town might be able to do that with the backhoe.
Okay.
I can't see why they wouldn't be able to do that. It'd be a little finagling, but it's doable. And then pretty soon here, the town dump's going to be closed Monday and Tuesday for the winter hours. So they'll have Monday and Tuesday to do that, and shouldn't affect the operations, you know.
Yep, got it.
Just dig it up and put the conduit in.
Jay?
I'm going to ask a question a little bit out of left field. Sorry about that. But is it cheaper to upgrade the service to 400 amps? Or to run in a second service?
Marjorie?
I'm not sure what your question means, but all of the people that I've talked to about this have recommended that we upgrade to the 400 amp. And I just don't know how to answer that question.
Okay. No, the question is, as you bring in, you have a second service and you split the equipment among the two services.
Bo?
You still have to put underground stuff. The cost would probably be similar.
Okay, that's...
And then that little shack is already, filled to capacity with electrical box. To try to find another spot to put another one in there.
Marjorie.
So what are the next steps then?
Well, we authorized to buy it. Then we found out that we needed more information about the electrical, right? Isn't that where we were? Because we need a firm price.
Okay. So do we have a plan for the electrical, Bo?
Not yet. I was waiting for a number from him. He wanted to firm it up because he was waiting for him a call back from Lenny to confirm what he thought was increasing the conduit size. Didn't we already authorize the money for everything, even for the electrical?
Right.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, so I need for timing purposes, I need to know when to order the compactor because that's 8 weeks out. I need to know when the electricians can do the work and if they can do the work and if I have to go off island for somebody. I need timing, you know.
Okay.
How do I proceed?
All right, if the board's fine with it, I'll get that for Marjorie, and then I'll report next time, or I'll send an email out just to see if everybody, you know, if we're all right with Kim Beam doing the job. I'll get his estimate, and then we'll proceed, try to get a time frame on when he can do it.
Did we already approve the amount of money for the electrical?
Yes.
Okay, so if we've already approved it, we don't usually approve subcontractors, right? I mean, doesn't the town just go out and hire them? If we've already approved all this, shouldn't we just say go ahead and get it done? I'm not sure. Do we really need to talk about this one more time? I'm just thinking.
No. I can just send an email, let you know when stuff's happening.
Do people feel, is that okay for everybody? Mark?
Fine with me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We're looking forward to that new compactor. We'll have a party up there, socially distanced. Everybody can save their cardboard, so they'll be sure to have some.
David's got a question.
Yeah,
David, I'm sorry.
Have we determined that Kim should be the one to do it, or should we be asking for a quote from what's his name? Also,
Ken. I thought you talked to Ken, and he couldn't do it now.
I'll take care of it.
Okay, Marjorie's going to take care of it. We're not going to get into the minutiae.
And Marjorie will take care of it.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you.
All those hills will be up there with shovels.
Sounds good. Okay, so now the next thing on the agenda is communications. Did anyone have any communications that they would like to discuss? Marjorie.
Let's see. Well, I got a nice thank you note where the selectmen were copied. It's to Fire and Rescue. It's a letter from Gerald Wiles.
Oh, nice.
To thank.
I didn't see that one, but that doesn't mean it didn't come in. I'm sure it did.
I can read it if you like.
Well, I think it'd be nice to read it.
Beth and I wish to express our gratitude and appreciation for the assistance you gave me not only with my rescue trip in March, but my most recent trip early Wednesday morning. This week's episode turned out to be a possible torn muscle and not my heart or lungs. Of course, the last thing one wants to do is wake family and friends in the night, but upon your arrival, my anxiety lessened. Shabig's rescue members showed their professionalism, competence, and the importance of compassion and kindness. Also, I recognize that both times I was transported, I saw members of the fire department standing by, ready to assist if needed. I know the following has been expressed many times and in many ways. Shabig Island residents are so fortunate to have a fire, rescue, and boat team dedicated to the welfare of Shabig and its people. Enclosed is a small gift and appreciation to you all. Thank you. Sincerely, Gerald Wiles, copy Board of Selectmen.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Very good.
I mean, people in this community certainly do appreciate what all of these volunteers do. And it's, I hope that will also, you'll be sending that to, I'm sure, to the EMS people too.
Well, this was a copy, so.
Okay.
Assuming that the original went to them.
Great. Anyone else have communication? I would just like to say that if people want to write letters to the Board of Selectmen, that it's really helpful if you sign it so that we can discuss whatever your concerns are. So I'm just kind of putting that out there to the public in case, because sometimes we get just random notes, and it's really helpful if we can really sit down and talk about whatever the issue might be. So thank you. All right, moving on to approving the minutes from October 7th, 2020. David.
Move to approve the minutes from October 7th, 2020.
I second.
All right, any corrections or omissions? All right, seeing no comments. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes. All right, so now we're going to move on to other business. I would like David to give a little bit, I don't see Eliza Jane on here, a little bit of an update on where we are with the Keep Maine Healthy Grant. And Marjorie can chime in and I can chime in. We've got some really good news.
Well, I wasn't really prepared to give a report, but I'll do as best I can. The time runs out October 31st when the grant period is over. We've managed to put together, I think, a pretty good program that has helped keep the island safe. I do know that the CART committee that's been doing the testing is very proud to say that they believe they've headed off as many as five potential outbreaks on the island, and we are still at five reported cases, well, one resident, I believe, and they've done over 100 tests. But that's not the, that's kind of a side report. As far as our grant goes.
Actually, David, before you finish, I got to correct you. It's not the CART committee that's doing the testing. It's the testing committee, which is the fiscal manager's the church. So I just don't want people to get confused. Okay, keep going.
That's right. They'll be confused anyway because we have all these things going at once. But that's all right. The point is, though, that we've made it this far, and I don't think we're turning any bends yet, but at least we're keeping our heads above water. As far as the grant goes, if you'll recall, it was in the amount of around $65,000, and we are probably going to manage to use most of that for various pieces of equipment, for masks, for signs around the island, and it's really worked out pretty well. We are not going to be doing decontamination hut at the safety office, but we have managed to pretty much deplete the rest of that in materials and I've got the list here. If I had the list, I'd go through it, but I don't.
That's okay. I'm just going to add, I think two of the big things that have happened is that out of this grant, we're going to be able to get a monitor for the commons, mm-hmm. for the Red Studio, so that families can meet their loved ones out in the Red Studio. And that has been approved by the state, and also a generator for the parish house because of all the food from the food pantry that's stored there. In addition, we made a significant donation to the food pantry, and that was also approved by the state. And there's all kinds of PPE that's coming and various things. And there's a lot to it, and Marjorie's been working hard with Eliza and Erica, and we will have an alert system. So that's kind of just a summary. The next thing, Bo wanted to talk about Halloween, and he's got his orange on, but I don't see his mask.
What do you mean? It's been on this whole time.
Oh, okay.
I had a couple. had a couple island people asked me if what the plan is for this year for Halloween. If we're canceling it or anything, I told them we didn't even discuss it, that we were going to talk about it briefly today. I was going to bring it up and stuff. I guess Eliza Jane's got some kind of plan to do some kind of get together or party over at the ball field or something. I'm not quite sure exactly what that is. I just wanted the thoughts of the board, and if there was any attendees that wanted to chime in. My thoughts are, if the kids go trick-or-treating, you know, obviously social distance from the other kids, and then either a bowl outside, or the people can just chuck the candy at the kids or something, you know. I mean, usually the past few years.
I think
the past few years they're going into the house and chit chatting for a while, you know. So if we can just stop them from going into the houses, physically going in the houses, I think I don't see the harm of going trick or treating.
I just read something, Bo, after you mentioned it to me, that the CDC put out. And one of their recommendations, and maybe it's something, I don't know that we can legislate Halloween, but it made sense to me that if everyone put their candy in a little Ziploc bag and just had, you know, like a tray outside and did it that way, there wouldn't be any contact between the people, you know, and the kids could ring the doorbell and people could look outside and look at them through the door or whatever. But what they suggested was putting it in, you know, a little sandwich bag or whatever. And then they said, when you bring it home, make sure the kids wash their hands, make sure they're using hand sanitizer while they're out trick-or-treating, and make sure they wash their hands when they get home, and that they dump out the candy and then wash their hands again before they start eating it. Marjorie.
I was trying to find something. I thought that I saw that Karen, the Island Fellow, was having a Zoom conversation with parents in the community tomorrow night to hash out what people were thinking.
Oh, that's good to know. Then we don't have to even.
I can't find it. I didn't pay too much attention because I'm not I don't have kids in my house. So I think.
It's on Beverly's website.
Oh, okay. Check it out. I think that she's hosting a Zoom call for parents to discuss Halloween.
Oh, I see Chris nodding her head and she had her hand up. Do you want to unmute, Chris? It looks like you have something you might be able to add to this conversation.
That's definitely true about Karen tomorrow night. And I think they're talking about doing something on the ball field where people come and they're able to somehow distribute the candy. But I think that'll be cleared up tomorrow night for sure.
So. Okay, so we don't have to micromanage Halloween. Somebody else can micromanage Halloween. David.
Yeah, I did want to offer a motion here, a motion of appreciation to Erica and to Eliza Jane and everybody else who's worked on the whatever the correct acronym is.
Keep Maine Healthy.
Keep Maine Healthy. That's the other one, right? I think they've done a terrific job. I think it's really helped the community and to get through this. So I would just like to offer, a vote of appreciation for their work and everybody else who's worked on that project.
Yeah, a lot of the nonprofits are really going to get get quite a lot of supplies.
And that's,
is there a second to that, David? Is that a second to David's motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Anyone have a comment on the board? Anyone in the audience have a comment about sending a letter of thanks to Erica and Eliza Jane for what they've done for communication and procurement? Seeing none. All right, we'll quickly take Jay.
Take it to the whole committee.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, they're actually employees.
But just recognizing everybody's help, because a lot of people have...
recognize everybody's been working on it. That's fine. Okay, so Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Sure.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. All right, is there any other business? Anyone in the audience who was on who might have something else they wanted to add and didn't get a chance during public comment? All right, seeing none, could I have a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make it.
Pursuant to one MRSA 405-6A to discuss a contract for the next town administrator. David?
Yeah, I'll move that we enter into executive session pursuant to one MRSA section 405 section 6A to discuss a contract for the next town administrator.
I second.
All right. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. I believe Jerry Wiles is probably Beth. If Vicky may be Chip and Jackie, Jackie and Chip probably need to go. Did you have something you wanted to say, Marjorie, before?
No, I'm leaving.
Okay.
Okay. No, I just...
Thank you.
All right. See you later. Thank you.
Night.
Good night.
So Jackie Trask and great. Thank you. And Chip Emery. Oh, Vicki? If you could.
I guess I can remove them.
Can you?
Well, do you want to remove Vicki Ramey? Once removed, Vicki Ramey will not be able to rejoin the webinar. So I would say that that would do the trick.
Is Jerry Wiles, is that Beth or?
Yes, I think it's Beth.
Okay, so.
Can you elevate Beth and we'll make sure it's Beth?
I'm going to permit her, promote to panelist. We'll see who it is, maybe.
Hey, since it's just us, did you all get a love letter?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if they don't sign it, we're not allowed to talk about it during communications?
No, we can talk about it during communications. I just said that it's hard to respond to somebody if you don't sign something.
Yeah.
Are you on there, Beth? Okay,
yeah,
good.
She just changed her name. Yep, Beth, it is Beth.
I don't see Greg. I wonder if he forgot.
Greg hasn't been on at all tonight.
I bet he forgot. I was thinking maybe I could figure out how to text him.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Can.
Can you see me?
No.
Nope.
How do I do that?
You should be able to ask to start video. I'm going to do that. And you should see, there you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Much better.
I'm just gonna call Greg quickly. My phone will let me text in here.
David, are you still recording?
Oh, thank you. Good call. Thank you very much.